For May the 31st, 2022, this is the Buddha Talks Games, episode 226. So, I was at first planning to call this episode Scoop Back in the Loop, but as I started recording this and I looked at my list of previous episodes, I realized that that the last episode was also about the Scoop deck. This is Magic the Gathering Arena, of course, we are talking about, as per usual. And I've mentioned this deck many times, and it's one of those decks that it's one of my favorite decks, and it's my own creation. And I don't think I've ever seen anyone play anything particularly similar. I saw someone do something remotely similar, a Lurrus deck with the Colossal Plow and the Giant Ox, but they didn't have the same cards. Like the rest of the deck was different, so it wasn't really similar. They were playing a different type of deck, it would seem. And this deck has really gone through many phases. Started out as a Mardu deck, I believe. I was running a bunch of Crocuses in there. That was like the initial. Combo was getting Kroxa and then getting it into play on for two mana, and then powering up the Plow before it sacrifices itself. But as I mentioned before, it's you definitely need the Oxes as well, and having the three colors in this Lurrus deck, I find it's a bit clunky because you need the tri-lands and they're a bit slow. So I've decided against it. I moved away from the Mardu and back into the Orso colors, or Silver Quill, if you will, instead. So I've talked about the deck in great detail before, but I just had to bring it up again because this is the last day before this season ends. And yesterday I just rocketed through Platinum. Of course, maybe that's not super impressive for players who always aim for Mythic, but I've kind of given up on that grind. It's just too much work to try to get into Mythic every time. So now I try to get into Platinum, or to Diamond at least, and be satisfied with that, because you get pretty good rewards anyway, and it's less work. I like to do a lot of experimenting, and so there's a lot of playing in the play queue. So at the end of the month, I'm usually pressed for time to try to push up into Mythic, and I don't find it that enjoyable either most of the time. But so I was kind of resigned to just being Platinum this time. I wasn't really going to push all that hard, but I just got into this win streak. I played 10-0. I did 10-1 or 10-0 matches, so 10 wins in a row with this deck, and that was, I think I had 8 to get into Diamond. I was in Platinum at like the lower tier 2, I think, or tier 3 maybe. Tier 3 it must have been, and then just shot straight up, as straight as you can go, with 10 wins in a row, and then did a couple of more wins, I think, in Diamond before before I had my first loss. And I think the loss was at that point, I've been playing so many quick matches that I was just kind of losing focus and did a couple of misplays. I had a couple of pathway or a pathway that I played on the wrong side, I think, and something like that. I think I played a Forsaken Lands, I think it's called. Yeah, Forsaken Crossroads, when I was supposed to play another land. So this deck does require you to think about how you play your lands. Most of the lands have some kind of drawback. So, of course, there's Aghanim's Awakening, which will cost you 3 lives if you don't want it to come in tapped. Although I find usually it's worth it if I'm not gonna mulligan a hand where I have an Aghanim's Awakening that I need to play as land usually, and quite often it will I'll play it as the first land, and then play a Hateful Eidolon with it. So it works out fine. I don't have a problem with losing some lives in the beginning. So there's those. There's the Brightline Pathways and the reverse side, which is the Grimclimb Pathway. So there you really have to think about which color you're playing. Rule of thumb for this deck is as soon as I have one white horse, I don't really need to focus on white horses. Because I do have 4 Godless Shrines and 4 Shattered Sanctum, so eventually I'll get some more whites. But early on, I usually just need the one, and I do need a lot of black. So as soon as I have one white, I try to stick with the black side. But that does require some thinking. Then there's 3 Castle Lochwain, which requires that you have a swamp in play for it not to come in tapped. So I do have the 4 Godless Shrines, and I have a single swamp. So those one of those needs to have come down before. Usually I can manage that. So it's not a huge problem. Then there's the 4 Forsaken Crossroads, which I would kind of like to replace them, but they're really handy. I do. This is kind of a. I mean, it is an Orzhov deck, but it does actually splash a single red card in the form of Valkyr God of Lies with the reverse of Tybalt, Cosmic Imposter. So I'm always looking to get one little red mono blip in there. Usually it'll be treasures that I'll use for those, but my plan usually with the Forsaken Crossroads is if I feel like I have enough or I have a few black sources and it comes up, or I feel that I've mana that so I'm close to being able to play Tybalt, I'll play it on a as a red source. But what I was gonna say is, yeah, the Forsaken Crossroads. One interesting thing here is that although this is a pretty aggro deck and it's has a very low curve, most of the cards are 2-drops actually, or a big section of them, of course, are 2-drops. All the permanents are 2 or 1-drops because of Lurrus. Even though it is an aggro with the low curve, I do have more wins on draw than on play. And I think that's pretty much down to the Forsaken Crossroads since it comes in untapped if you're on the draw. So I don't know if it's the fact that the on play is lower because those come in tapped, or if I actually need them and it's the on draw that's just higher than it would be otherwise. Because I have them and am able to play them untapped like half the time. So haven't decided on that yet. If another land shows up that could be better, I might switch them out. But for now, I'm pretty happy with the 4 Crossroads. I very seldom like sigh when they come up. So no sign that I have a feeling that I don't want them in there. Although cards that I did take out was the Painful Bond, after they switched the text on it. It used to be that spells with mana value 3 or higher would be more expensive, but now they switched around, so now it's less than 3. So, or is it 3 and below, maybe? I have the old text here. Yeah, so that is a real problem for this deck, because before it was great because most of my pretty much all my spells except the Aghanim's Awakening were cheaper than 3 or 3 yeah below 3. And now it's the reverse, that I think Aghanim's Awakening and Soul Transfer, actually, I have a couple of copies of that as well. Those are the ones that are not taxed by the life gain. Actually, I'm not quite sure, because maybe it's 3 and below. I don't remember if it's the wording on it, but anyway, I really felt it. I played a couple of matches with Painful Bond, and it was truly painful, getting all that damage from all my cards in hand. So took those out. I didn't really need them anyway. So don't remember exactly what I put in. I think, yeah, what I did is I increased one more Rite of Oblivion and one more Vanishing Burst is what I think I did. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, like I said, just needed to talk about this deck for a moment, because well, how good it's been performing for me. Seems the meta has kind of shifted in historic, so this deck is really successful. Looking now at the latest version that I made, with the increased added Rite of Oblivion and Vanishing Verse and removal of the Painful Bond. So it has 74% win rate, 26-9, 74 on play and 75 on draw. So it's evened out a bit, which is nice to see. Yeah, really happy with that, with its performance, and we'll see what happens moving forward. So besides this last week when I've been playing a lot of the Scoop deck, one card that I really fell for, or fell for, I've fallen for, that I really like a lot is the oh, what's, now I forgot the name of it. The Arcane Bombardment, which is a mythic rare card from Capenna. It's a enchantment for 4 and red. It reads, when you cast your first instant or sorcery spell each turn, exile an instant or sorcery card at random from your graveyard, then copy each card exiled with Arcane Bombardment. You may cast any number of the copies without paying their mana cost. So, as soon as you have it in play, every single turn, and that's counting both your turn and the opponent's turn, if you can cast an instant or sorcery, you'll recast all the cards that have been randomly picked from your graveyard for the Arcane Bombardment. So I made a bunch of different decks around this theme. I think I started out with CGB's Invoke Bombardment list, which I've tweaked a little bit. Still have most of it intact, but so it of course has almost all instances and sorceries. I think there's just yeah, there's a couple of Celestes in here. Don't know if there's any other permanents actually, besides the lands, of course. No, I think that's pretty much it. So there's a couple of ray of enfeeblement, an instant from what is this? I guess this is from Innistrad Midnight Hunt. And it's an instant, and target creature gets -4/-1 until end of turn. If that creature is white, it gets -4/-4 until end of turn. So, pretty handy because the meta has been very heavy on the white aggro decks. So, for just one black at instant speed, you can do the equivalent of 4 damage to a creature, which is nice. There's a couple of play with fire in here. Usually, you'll want to go for the dome with that so you get scry. But it's versatile, so you can hit any target, so works out well regardless. Four spike field hazards, one check for traps, which not quite sure about. I think I've been working back and forth on if I wanted to have that or not. This list is a standard list. I did try replacing them with what's the name of that card? One of the better cards from Alchemy, the Undercity Plunder, which instead could potentially give you a card and makes them discard 2 cards. Of course, they get to pick, so that does make a difference, but still, it's haven't really decided which I prefer, really. And of course, it's down to if you want to be playing in Alchemy or Standard. And on a side note, that's something that really baffles me, that people are seem to be so against Alchemy. I really like Alchemy. It's a welcome, refreshing change, and I find Standard to be kind of boring, to tell you the truth. So these days I usually will play Historic or Alchemy because I like being able to play with the Alchemy cards. I guess it's just my type of gaming. I like the randomness, or that most of those cards bring with the seeking and the conjuring of different cards into your hand and so forth. But anyway, I digress. There's two hunt for specimens for Tainted Indulgence. This is a new card from Capenna. Really like this card. For a blue and a black at instant speed, you get to draw 2 cards, and then you discard a card unless there are 5 or more mana values among cards in your graveyard. So this deck is pretty good at getting you to 5 different mana values in your graveyard pretty quickly. There's a bunch of cards at each value up to 6. So it's a fairly easy thing to get into place. So quite often you'll be playing those Tainted Indulgences, and especially if they're recast by the bombardment, then you're just getting more and more cards in hand, allowing you to, or making it even easier for you to cast an instant or sorcery. A 1-go blank, 2 Prismari Commands, which is a great way to fix your hand or get that mana that you need. It's because it's so versatile. It's a great fit for this deck, as is the Maestress Charm. Maestress, I thought it was Meister, but it says Maestros. Maestress Charm. New instant from Capenna for a Grixis. You get to choose one. Look at the top 5 cards of your library. Put one of those cards into your hand, and the rest into your graveyard. Another way to get those different values into your graveyard. Or you can have each opponent lose 3 life, and you gain 3 life. Or you can have it deal 5 damage to target creature or planeswalker. So, also very handy and versatile. Two Celestes to fix your mana. Four or three Hagra Mauling. When you have enough land, you can always kill creatures with it. Or reverse. Four Big Score, which will help you ramp into being able to play the Arcane Bombardment and also fixing your mana. Three Invoke Despair, another of the new favorites, but this was from Kamigawa, Neon Dynasty. Really like this card as well. So it's a sorcery for one and four black. It reads, target opponent sacrifices a creature. If they can't, they lose 2 life and you draw a card. Then you repeat the process for enchantment and planeswalker. So they lose an enchantment, a creature, and a planeswalker. If they can't, they lose 2 life and you draw a card. So plenty of nice stuff going on there. It's like a Christmas, evil Christmas. Two Shadows Verdict to clean out all those little pesky critters. Three Burn Down the House, also a great versatility. Either you get some little attackers or blockers, or you just clean the board, doing 5 damage to all the creatures and planeswalkers. Really like these red burn spells that do damage to both creatures and planeswalkers. Really handy. It's the worst being stuck with cards that only affect creatures when your opponent is just playing planeswalkers, for instance. And then of course three Arcane Bombardment, and I'm not going to go through the lands, but the usual mix of Grixis lands, including the new Xander Lounge, the tri-land, if you will, of Grixis from Capenna. So, yeah, lots of fun to play this deck. Haven't been doing super well with it lately. I'm under 50%, so I guess that's it seems it's more fun than it is good at the moment. But does really well against some types of opponents, and then others it really has problems. So especially if they know what you're doing and they target your bombardment, for instance, then it can be really hard to win. But still, lots of fun. But I've made a bunch of different variations on it. Maybe I'll get back to that at some point when I've made something successful. So far, they've been so-so. I've tried different historic versions, like a 5-colored version, a Mardu, a Jund. Mono red, I tried Gruul, I think, as well with the land hate. It worked so so, I guess. But yeah, I think that's it for now.